is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
A busy time for the Oregon State Legislature. State Senator Floyd Przanski joining us this afternoon. And Floyd, I guess one of the things that kind of drives us is the schedule right now about a deadline that is coming up on Tuesday.
That's correct. Tuesday this next week, April 13th, is the deadline for any committee bills that are coming or wanting to get out of committee to be out of the committee and on its way to the respective floors. Failure to have those bills out of committee or in a committee that has longer timelines, it will be considered dead and not moving forward unless it somehow remarkably gets pushed into another bill, which those are hard to find. So, yep, it's a busy time for all. We had a special meeting today, in fact, for the Natural Resource and Wildlife Wildfire Recovery Committee, taking public testimony on what is some people are calling the omnibus bill for wildfire recovery, Senate Bill 762. And so today we had an hour and a half of getting public testimony around the concepts in there, and that bill is going to be worked on Monday. So everyone's trying to get things squared away and situated so everyone can make the deadlines on Tuesday.
And that's certainly a big issue. Last Sunday, we drove up to the North Umpqua, my wife and I, and hadn't been up there since right after the fires, went as far as Steamboat Inn, came back, and then went up Rock Creek. And while a lot of things looked different than the week after the fire, there, it's very clear that here and certainly in the Springfield area with the fire up there and others around the state, this is going to be an extremely long, costly haul.
It really is, and this is the unfortunate part of these type of catastrophic events. What the long-term outlook is how long it really actually will take to get people back to the point of where they can make the decisions about coming back home to their where they want to be. So I am happy to report for the Lane County Commissioners, they took the step to basically waive permit fees for individuals that were directly impacted by the wildfires on the upper, on the McKenzie, the Holiday Farm fire. So those residents that want to rebuild are going to have some relief from needing to pay a lot of fees and applications and cost for getting permitting to rebuild.
I wanted to ask about something that seems to have popped up today. Oregon Supreme Court in a ruling regarding redistricting and how that is done. Talk about what happened today.
Well, my understanding is the Oregon Supreme Court agreed with the legislators' request to actually take the deadlines that are established for doing redistricting in the year after we have the census completed. And I know that the Secretary of State's office was under the impression that they thought they should be the ones that should be doing it because our deadlines wouldn't be met. Well, theirs wouldn't be met either. So I have not seen the opinion, but I've heard of it. My understanding, though, is that the Oregon Supreme Court has agreed that the legislature should, in fact, have an opportunity to draw the lines, but for the census data not coming to us in a timely way, that they're going to allow us to do it. Now, other states have taken similar steps, so what I expect will happen is they'll take the calendar that we were working under in a normal year, and they will condense that and modify it to a point of where the legislature would, in fact, have that opportunity, but there will be a deadline. I don't know what that deadline is at this moment. And then if we're not able to complete it, then I'm assuming the Secretary of State will have an opportunity to do the same. And if that doesn't happen, then it would go to the courts. Now, because this is a decision that just came out without my eyes on it, I can't say for sure that's how it played out, but that's what I assumed would happen based on what has happened in other states where similar petitions were filed with their Supreme Courts.
Yeah, and that goes in line with what I've seen today on a couple of releases, one that has come from Speaker Kotek and one from the Senate Republicans as well, and talking about the decision today. Obviously, a lot's at stake. There's a lot of work that's involved. It gets very political, honestly, and both sides of the aisle sometimes are prone to throw rocks at one another over how somebody wants lines drawn.
Well, it is. The one thing we have to keep in mind, though, is that we actually were successful 10 years ago. I had the opportunity to serve on that redistricting committee, and it was the first time, I will admit, in many decades from what we learned historically, for the legislature to actually be able to come in and draw the lines without little to any opposition and for them to go into effect. So just our track record for the last one is that the House Senate members, Republican and Democrats, came together. They worked together. They came up with a plan, and it went forward. So I'm assuming that everyone that's going to be involved that already are on those committees, that they will be doing the same, because time is of the essence. It is a duty, a job that we, the legislature, have to under our laws. And so we should not only take it seriously, we should act on it as quickly as we can to make certain the process works.
Now, obviously, all this slowed down because of the census process in the midst of a pandemic. But then you're dealing with the fact that in 2022, you've got elections on all levels. And also, not only looking at Oregon, but on a national level, the potential for changes. I don't know, a lot of people think Oregon may end up with one more seat in Congress. That might play into how some things are drawn within the state as well.
That's very true. There's a lot of moving parts with this, and of course, you know, throwing the pandemic in the middle of that has really thrown everything upside down. Clearly, we have to have the data from the feds to actually be able to move forward from the census. My understanding at last report is that it was expected not until the beginning of September. So I would assume that the court's opinion has an extremely fast track process with consolidated times for the different entities that have an opportunity, I mean the legislature or the Secretary of State's office, to complete their task. I do know that on the legislative side, they have been continuing to do the work they can, the prep work, and starting to look at stuff. So it's not like everyone's waiting for the data and that's when they're going to start. They've already started a lot of that work. Hopefully they'll be prepared once the data comes in to start plugging it in to the preliminary work that they've done, and will be able to actually move something out very quickly.
If I looked at this correctly, yesterday the Senate passed funding for a package that included summer learning, wildfire recovery, and emergency shelters. Do you have more information on that?
Well, it's another catch-all of trying to do what we can as quickly as we can to make certain that we are providing for the needs of the state as well as individuals who have been, you know, dramatically impacted over the last year. And so, of course, with the COVID, as well as having the fires, you have all these different balls being thrown up in the air and being mixed between each other, and you got to figure out what you can do. So, like the extended summer learning, clearly we know that a lot of youth need to have more structure in their life for their schooling, and we're going to look at ways of extending that out and helping youth to get back into a more norm and try to make up for some of the lost time of face-to-face with school mates, teachers, and having opportunities to continue their pursuit in education during this next coming summer. And we as a state would be help facilitating that with revenue and assistance in getting the nonprofit programs and others in place to provide that work, as well as schools to some level.
And I know that's been looked at around the country, you know, the potential for some changes this year, some special programs in school districts. That gets very complex, though, because of the school calendar typically. And if you're going to add more things in, you've got to find a way to pay for it and hire the people for that period of time, and a lot to consider there.
There is. And so what I would hope is that we would see is opportunities for teachers who would want to be participating in these type of efforts in the summer to get some type of priority. It seems like that would be a much faster pace and track for us to get things in line for this learning extended summer learning, I guess I'm going to call it. And at the same time, as you mentioned, you know, some of the other money that's come forward out of this package for wildfire recovery and emergency shelters, I know that in numerous places that they're looking at how can we bring in additional housing for those who have been displaced, and at the same time dealing with the lack of housing that we have for a lot of houseless or homeless individuals.
Yeah, and it's been a real issue really everywhere. I mean, FEMA got hit hard last year, not only all the fires we had, but if I recall, there was a record or near record number of natural disasters around the country that contributed to it. I'm well aware that a number of folks in Douglas County that were that lost everything in the Archie Creek fire are still, here we are months later, still living in motels because there's really nowhere else to go.
You know, that's true. And then part of the unfortunate situation is just the logistics, let alone the bureaucratic process on the federal side of having money released, having authorization to do some of the bulk, I'm going to call it purchasing. I heard on the local news earlier this week about concerns that trailers that were being staged in Reedsport, if I'm not mistaken, or in the Coos Bay area for Medford area for the fires that were down there, the Alameda fires, people started thinking that this was going to be some type of camp that was going to be opened up for just anyone to be able to be at. So unfortunately, the rumors don't help. It's also one of those situations that when you start getting stuff coming in, such as trailers, you have to have a place to put them. And apparently, in the southern part of the state where the need is at, those grounds and areas are not prepped to the point of where they could actually have brought them directly there. So hopefully, they'll be able to maneuver them into positions so we can get some of these families into what we'd call more stable housing than what they find themselves in right now.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Senator Floyd Prezansky, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. Later, CBS Audio, America Changed Forever. Look at dealing with the viruses and their variants in the 21st century. Also a check on how Zoom has become the dominant video conferencing platform. And the question as to whether or not you'll ever wear a suit again with so many working from home. We'll talk about those on CBS Audio America Changed Forever this afternoon at 4. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer on Inside Douglas County Monday with our weekly COVID-19 update, and State Senator Floyd Prezansky on right now as the chair of the Judiciary Committee. What's been going on over there?
We've been very busy. This is the time of framework that we are basically pushing bills out that we've been doing public hearings on. If someone takes the time to look at the Oregon Legislative Information System, OLIS, and went to Monday and looked at the Senate Judiciary and ballot measure 110 Implementation Committee, you'd see probably 35, 40 bills that are listed for work session. Fortunately, all of those are not going to be taken up in one day. Some of those are what we call placeholder bills, where we've held the bill in reserve if we needed things to be addressed at the last moment after we've had missed other deadlines. Sometimes things happen that you need to have a relating clause that allows for you to take up that issue. So we do have two or three bills that are like that. We're going to actually now have some public hearing time for those bills since they are bringing in new concepts. But these are ones that are really responsive to issues that are raised since we started. So we will be very busy the next 2 days of the committee on Monday and Tuesday. And if necessary, we do have a time slot set to come back on Tuesday late afternoon to complete any work that maybe we don't have the formal paperwork that we would need to move the bill forward. So we're prepared. Fortunately, for most of my committee members, it's not our first rodeo. And so we'll be in for the long haul, just trying to get bills out that people have been requesting, and hopefully we'll be successful in getting those done by deadline.
There we go. Let's press that button. What about your bill regarding making sentencing or changes, rather, to sentencing? Where does that stand?
All right. Senate Bill 401 is the bill number. That bill is still definitely in play. I've been working with people on stakeholders on all sides of the issue. What I expect will happen is that will be one of two, possibly three bills that will leave our committee going to another committee, which is the Rules Committee, where it will be able to stay in play. In other words, the Rules Committee is one of those committees that does not have the Tuesday deadline, and so we'll be able to continue to work. And so this will be the opportunity for us to sit down with the various stakeholders, including advocates for the change, law enforcement, district attorneys, defense lawyers, around that would be dealing with mandatory minimum sentencing in the state, to see what, if any, steps we can take to modify the current law so we can get judges back into doing what they're supposed to do, which is make decisions on what the sentences should be based on the conduct, the fact situation, the person's history, instead of putting someone into a pegged hole and say, because you committed this crime, you're going to get the same minimum sentences. A first-timer versus a career criminal.
What about the process for the state budget? I mean, that's one of the big things this time around, crafting the new budget. I know the House has been operating differently than the Senate. What about our timeline here?
Well, that is one of those, call it, committees that does not have an end until the end. So the Ways and Means process is going on. I'm serving on the sub for the public safety. And so we're still dealing with agency bills right now, and budgets, I should say. And then what we're going to see is a movement from there for policy bills that have been taken up this session that are public safety oriented. And we'll start looking at those as to what should and what can be funded. As you can imagine, we have limited resources, and you have to start looking at what is the cost. Is that one-time cost, or is this a potential ongoing roll-up cost by bringing a lot of staff personnel in that you have to consider continuing to fund in the future? So we're going to be at some point shifting into that phase, but the Ways and Means process, they will be open until literally the day or night that we get out of session doing the final work that they need to do. They'll start collapsing their committees down. Their subcommittees will close out, and then they'll do stuff out of the main committee, and they'll keep up. Capital Construction will probably be the subcommittee that will stay open till the very end.
The latest state budget forecast looked better than just about anybody expected it to. Have you seen anything new data-wise since then?
No, I think, you know, it's one of those situations that as hard as the COVID restrictions and impact on economies for many Oregonians has occurred, you've seen other areas where it has actually benefited. So, and the numbers are coming in extremely strong. Plus, when we have as much money that's coming into the states from the feds, and Oregon is not losing out on that at all. I mean, I think the state itself directly is getting $6.2 billion, that's with the B. But there'll be strings attached to it from the U.S. Treasury, I think, who's been tasked to put those, restrictions as to how the money can be used. But the bottom line is, if you have money coming in that you had not counted on, that you can actually put towards certain programs that qualify, that opens up the general fund that where we would be using money to pay for those programs to be used in other general fund programs. So this is one of those things that I really expect that the tri-chairs, the two co-chairs on the Senate side and the co-chair on the House side, are staying up way beyond midnight trying to figure out exactly how they're going to be able to not only plug holes, but actually try to move us forward in a progressive way that will, in fact, put funding in some programs that we've not been able to fund in the past just because of limited resources.
Are you concerned at all about the state, essentially, it seems like, being kind of propped up by all this federal money?
No, I'm not. I mean, the reality is we're dealing with something that has not been dealt with in this country for 102 years, a pandemic. And, you know, the little bit of history I've seen and heard that took place back in that time, I think we're right where we need to be, and we definitely need federal assistance because of the impact it has on this state and all states.
All right, State Senator Floyd Przanski, out of time for now. Thanks for being on.
Kyle, thank you very much. Have a good day, and be well.
1257 and News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.